Pod Tackler episode 297, Tying Up Loose Ends for June 19th, 2012.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Afflink.
We have another community member with us to join the ranks for this podcast. We have New Era 808.
And we are Tonight Entertainment.
more about Daft's accent at the end of the show. Yeah. So, Era, New Era, however you want to be called, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys?
Not much. Well, I typically say the ceiling, but then I get funny looks. I never know why that is. Because, I mean, most of the time the ceiling is up, and if the ceiling isn't up, I say the sky. I get people that roll their eyes, give me funny looks. I don't know. I mean, I'm being truthful, right?
Yeah, sure. But people can take it as being smart.
No, I'm a smart person, though. Yeah.
Well, being a smart ass.
He's not insane. He's just ahead of the curve. No.
No. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, today we're going to kind of wrap up a few of the E3 stuff that has been going on. We got through most of the gameplay stuff, which is the bulk of the E3 coverage that we had. But there was a couple other things that came out, one of which was the smart glass demo that we had when they had their own smart glass presentation. And then the bulletin for this week actually addressed some of the questions that they got in from viewers over the E3 week. We have some of those kind of default non-answer back in some of these questions.
The PR double talk 343.
I think they did a lot better than they did for that first
couple months ago.
Yeah, they did better.
How many vehicles are in the game? Some. Period.
At least for that one, they only used one word instead of going on with a long, elaborate description that led to nowhere.
I'd rather they, you know, have just not even answer that question if they were just going to, you know, basically not even answer it, you know,
but
which they did.
If you look at it, they're going to get that question a lot. So if they just kind of wrap it up and say, that's it, that's what we're going to say about it, then okay. I appreciate that they only took one word up instead of writing a whole elaborate paragraph that basically said, well, we're definitely really, or we're excited to reveal to you at some point the wide variety of vehicles that we'll have for the game.
Well, you see, I got
you guys
story
are gonna
about
love
that.
It, but
no, I got something about that. I was listening. So the other day, I finally got around to finally. Okay, so the Game Informer podcast, which I must say is a good, very good podcast. Go give it a try. A couple months ago, they had special edition podcast for Halo 4 where I think they were talking to like Josh Holmes or someone from...
I think it was Josh Holmes and Frankie, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Josh Holmes. Yeah, so they had some 343 guys on the Game Informer podcast for special edition Halo 4 talk. And so I started listening to it, finally get around to it. And it was like questions from the Game Informer community, like, you know, just users. And the staff members, you know, picked them out and read them on the show to the 343 guys.
Right.
And one of the questions was like, you know, what's Forge going to be like? And Josh Holmes or whoever was
didn't
like,
we talk about this during the show that we went over all the Game Informer stuff?
Maybe. But why I'm saying this is because like Josh Holmes was like, well, you know, Forge is definitely going to be in the game, and I can't talk much about it, but, you know, a big part of the Halo universe is creativity, and we love creativity in our community, and that's certainly an element that we're going to bring back. And I'm like, I don't need to listen to, like, 45 minutes of this PR double talk. Like, no thanks. You know, waste of my time. I want actual info.
But it's not only 343 that does it.
Well, I'm not singling 343 out. I mean, was Blizzard
or Rockstar?
It sucks
from a gamer and a fan standpoint that they would still do something like that, but...
Oh, no, whether it be, like, 343 or Blizzard or Rockstar or Bungie or Valve or anyone, I'd rule them all equally on it. Like, don't give me that nonsense. Give us actual info or don't give us anything at all.
Yeah. Well, at least if they come out and say, like, something short says that we're not ready to talk about, then that's fine.
Would you rather them say there's going to be some, or would you rather say
Oh, we're not just gonna, we're not going to tell you.
But for so for that question, the vehicle question, and I know this is kind of narrowing down and drilling on one question specifically, but it's questions like those where we've already seen plenty of vehicles in there already. We know that the Warthog's in there, the Ghost is in there, the Mongoose is in there. We can assume that the Wraith and the Tank are going to be in there. So some is just reaffirming what we already know, and it's basically them saying that they're not ready to tell us, which, in my opinion, I'm fine with. Because they kept it short, they kept it simple, they basically said, we're not ready to tell you anything else. It's when they go on their long, elaborate paragraphs of trying to look like they're making something or presenting something to us, but they're really not. That's
BS Angel basically making a bunch of, you know, internet poetry to make it look all fancy and like...
Well, and if you think about it, that's
charming.
Her job.
Is she trying to be charming or funny? Is
Well, if you think about it, that's her job. And one of the reasons why they hired her is because of her ability to write on that level, kind of write on in that blog mentality. Because that's what she did with Holly McBloggy.
We use that skill to give us actual info. Okay, here's what I think they should do. If you aren't ready to answer it, don't even say that. Just don't answer it. No one's forcing you to answer any of these questions, 343.
I don't think it's a matter of not answering. It's just a matter of how they answer it. Because, I mean, they can definitely come back and say, we're not ready to discuss this, or...
So they're gonna have a whole... Like, they're going to have, like, half a Halo bulletin of, like, we're not ready to discuss this. Why are you even, like, wasting my time with
well,
reading
do you
that?
Because, I mean, if people ask the question, and if it doesn't get answered, then they might just think 343 is ignoring them. So
quality
there's a fine... Well, so, yeah, there's a fine balance there between quality over quantity. And granted, right now, our opinions are there's a little more quantity than there is quality, but...
Okay, here's my ideal bulletin. I would rather have a short bulletin with actual info, like questions that they're really going to give us real answers to, short bulletin, and then like the bottom they could put everything else we're not ready to discuss. I'd rather have that... Then a very large bulletin and half of it, maybe even more than half of it, is just nonsense. Like, why am I even reading this?
Right.
Yeah.
You also have to look at the perspective we're coming from. From we're podcasters, we are heavily invested in the Halo franchise, so we know a lot more details than a lot of other people out there know, and they're trying to appeal to those people as well. So if you think about it, think of the bulletin as kind of divvied up, 30% core Halo fans, 70%. Not necessarily hardcore.
Casuals.
Very casual.
Just say the word. Yeah, nobody likes them.
Well,
cool, there is a lot of hardcore fans out there for Halo, but like you can say the same for Halo, Gears, and Call of Duty. All of them have hardcore audience, but I think the bigger audience is probably the casual gamers. That's the ones that are spending.
Who are the casuals who...
Perfect example, Kinect.
Ugh. Yuck.
Extremely casual. I say core, but if you think of that, Kinect could be considered core. But the hardcore gamers, people like FPS players, racing players, all that.
RTS, MMO, RPG,
right,
yeah.
That you are relied on the controller. You cannot do all this controllerless stuff with your body and stuff.
Yeah.
Microsoft isn't really focusing on that market anymore.
Good.
And I don't know if it's going to come back to bite them in the butt or not.
Wait, they're focusing more on hardcore now or on casual?
No, casual.
They're focusing on casuals?
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Well, look at
E3.
Look at E3.
Casual gamer who will play, you know, the game at maybe a party or a friend's house for about 30 minutes a year. They generally don't have a mic in. They're very easily swayed from franchise
to
franchise.
But if you think about it, that's
depending on which franchise is flashy.
The user base. That's the bulk of the user base. And for these companies that are having to advertise their product to get people to buy it, they have to appeal to those casual people, and that's what they're doing by answering some of these questions the way they are.
That's the majority of the market is casual gamers.
Yeah. I mean, hardcore gamers. If you're hardcore on a specific game, you're already a ticket that has been written off, and they're focusing on someone else.
Yeah.
Granted,
like hardcore gamers don't want to do the Kinect and movement and stuff. I think that's probably why the Wii isn't really in the hardcore market at all is because the controls
no,
and stuff.
No, and
like,
Nintendo has firmly established itself as a casual platform.
Mm-hmm. That's also because Wii has like no like third-party hardcore support. And like I said on the last podcast, even if the Wii U is going to have all that stuff, like Assassin's Creed and Mass Effect and Far Cry and whatever else, no one is going to make the transition to a Nintendo console. Everyone is going to stay on Xbox and the PlayStation
Nintendo
like they've been accustomed to.
Nintendo is good for its first-party platform games. Yeah, like
but
Mario,
even that stuff's getting, even that stuff's getting old. Even that stuff's getting old. Zelda's still fresh. Definitely, but Mario, I mean, that's such. I just feel like it's being so rehashed. It's
yeah,
just
like how
but
many
the
iterations
thing is, people have accept fail. People have accept that for Nintendo, for the most part.
I feel like the only franchise they're still innovating in is like Zelda. Basically, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, and I brought this up. I brought this up last podcast when we were doing our E3 wrap up. They have some interesting ideas when it comes to hardware because if you I had a hard age there. I have no idea where that came from. But they have interesting ideas with hardware. If you look at the Wii controller, that was basically the first, not exactly, but the hands-free motion-based controller. And then Microsoft and the PlayStation, or the Kinect and the Move came along and kind of adopted a similar playing style. Granted, they implemented it differently, but it was a similar feel in that you're using body movements to control the game.
And they kind of both failed.
But they had an idea. I think Nintendo has these good ideas. They just don't know how to execute them correctly.
So we're now praising ideas, not actual achievements.
Well, if you look at it, so, okay, the Wii U comes along. They have the gamepad. They announced that last year at E3. Look what comes around this E3. Smart glass.
Yeah,
smart glass for Xbox.
That I have no interest in.
The smart glass is just a...
Cross-play
like,
for PS Vita and PS3.
That I also have no interest in.
Well, okay. I know from a hardcore gamer perspective, it's stuff that we're not interested in. But if you think about it, on the topic of discussion that we're talking about, Nintendo has these interesting, innovative ideas. It's just that they don't put it to its full potential, and then Microsoft and Sony come by and kind of sweep the boards with it.
Yeah, I will say that.
Because
Nintendo,
that's where the hardcore gamers are, and that's where the hardcore gamers can at least connect with it a little bit more.
Yeah. Mm. I will say that the Nintendo, they do take bold risk on like innovation and stuff like that.
I mean, it's going to be whoever comes up with the perfect mix of a hardcore game, like a first-person shooter or a racing game, and have that aspect built in with Kinect. The first company that's going to be able to do that is going to make bank.
Yeah.
Because it's going to attract the hardcore people and it's going to attract the casual players.
I think Kinect is kind of on its way with
and
the voice control.
Skyrim almost does it because they have a lot of voice features.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, the whole voice activated stuff with Kinect, just make it useful for your headset. I mean,
there's no
reason to exclude that to the Kinect just because you have the Kinect hardware. The infrastructure's already there with your headset.
But you don't understand that. They want people to go about it and buy Kinects. They're not going to give
it. I know, it's a whole marketing thing. But if you look at it from a technology standpoint, you can easily integrate that with the headset that you already have.
Yeah.
Of course. And they can put an internet browser on the 360, which apparently they're going to do soon, but they should do it now instead. Well, they should have done it years ago. Isn't it a little embarrassing that what is it like the console of the world's largest web browser provider does not have a web browser on it?
Well, I think okay. It's because it's gonna kind of stop sales on like their like Windows 7 and stuff like that.
The thing with having a browser on the console is vulnerabilities.
Makes it easier to hack.
Yeah, I've talked to like people who are like roommates or friends in college who are specialties in security and some other people with specialties in computer security backgrounds. Browsers are the number one ways into every computer everywhere is downloading malware. And you put a browser on a console, that's going to be the number one backdoor into a lot of these things. And I think that's why Microsoft's held off. And I in my opinion, it would have still been a good idea to keep it off the console.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have it on there. I hope they know what they're doing. Because IE has had a very colorful history, especially with IE 6.
They kind of like
they've gotten better.
Seems like they're trying to like kind of like almost weasel their way around actually implementing a full internet browser. Like, here, we'll give you Facebook.
Well, they
here we'll give you YouTube. Here's some parts of
the internet making browser. The HTML5 standard and third party tests. They've actually hit more compliance checks than some of the other major browsers like Firefox, Safari, and Opera.
Uh-huh.
So while that's still there, there's still you have to look at vulnerabilities. So that'd be the only major concern.
I just really hope it's not as bad as a PC internet the PS3 internet browser.
Yeah, me too.
Have you guys ever used it?
Like once, and I was like,
I've used it a few times.
I'm getting off this.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I use my PSP's internet browser kind of on the go quite frequently. I mean, it's competent enough, like for what
that's
it
why
is.
I mean,
you can't watch videos. You can't watch videos or do anything like super flashy, but it's good for like maybe just like looking at Wikipedia or you know something.
Right. Yeah. Well, if you think the mobile platform is driven by apps. So yeah. if there's a major website you're going to, like YouTube or Wikipedia, there's an app for that.
Yeah. The Vita's got lots of apps.
So it's just kind of a matter of implementation at that point.
I love how that was kind of funny when Microsoft did that like that campaign, Connect for Core, which was like completely laughable. It's like because Fruit Ninja is a hardcore game.
No,
I'm gonna go play the Gunstringer. That looks awesome, right? Yeah.
I heard that's pretty good for the Kinect. Like,
and then there's like there was the Rise of Nightmares, the horror Kinect game or whatever, which got like horrible reviews, got like fours and stuff.
The thing is, all hardcore gamers rely on that controller because it's so instantaneous. They have so much control over using that controller.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of using a controller in your hands.
Yeah, no, Kinect is a gimmick for the body.
I'm pretty sure if the Kinect was as responsive as a controller, maybe more people would use it. But the Kinect just isn't as responsive as a controller is.
Okay, I don't know if you guys have seen this specifically, but there was a company or a group over in Great Britain that made kind of like a 360 Battlefield 3 simulator. I don't know if you guys saw that, but they used Kinect to basically track this guy, and they had a 360 dome with cameras in it, and you were basically in the environment. You could actually walk around.
I think I heard about that.
There's a whole moving platform. You had something that you held in your hand with a trigger that you could actually fire a gun with, and there was paintball guns set up, so whenever you actually got hit, they would shoot paintballs at you. So it was a completely immersive experience. But it's that kind of stuff that Kinect is. It would be cool to see.
I think if that's how everyone played like Battlefield 3 or COD, everyone would be a lot more careful because they wouldn't want to get shot with the paintball guns.
Have you heard that leak about the Xbox 720 and stuff?
No.
Well, they leaked out like a whole bunch of notes on it and supposedly they dumbed down the Kinect a lot so it could work on the current 360. And when the next generation of the Microsoft console comes out, it's going to be like five times responsive and powerful.
Wouldn't it also be disgusted?
They really had to dumb it down for the 360.
Are you talking about the Xbox or are you talking about the Kinect 2?
720. Well, he's saying the Kinect was dumbed down.
Because, we've heard like stuff about Kinect. I thought you were talking about Xbox 720 specifically.
Oh yeah, I'm talking about the 720. But they in the notes they're saying there's a Kinect 2 that will be up.
Yeah,
to
we
par.
Knew that for a while.
No, I'm just saying that like you guys are talking about how like the Kinect is kind of a gimmick right now. But I'm saying is they really had to dumb it down for the 360, so we don't really know the full potential.
Well, I'm not saying the Kinect is a gimmick. I'm saying motion control in general. The idea is a gimmick. Controller for the win.
Anyways, we need to get off this topic.
Anyone else would be disgusted if like they revealed the Xbox 720 and like the main like centerpiece of how it played was like Kinect, basically. I mean, that'd be appalling.
That'd be horrible.
Yeah.
You'd see a big rush to the PlayStation platform.
Oh yeah, yeah.
PlayStation would scoop those people up like candy.
Yeah. Candy.
I don't think they would do that. I don't think they're that. It's kind of like
I hope
it
not, because I love my Halo.
Yeah,
I love me my Halo. And until Halo comes on the computer, I'm sticking with Xbox.
Seriously.
Okay, so let's get into the actual topics of the show. Since we kind of derailed. It was a good discussion though. It's
healthy.
Somewhat related. So smart glass. We already kind of mentioned this already, but it's basically integrating all of your devices. Some magic behind that. Except the computer, of course, because they don't want the computer to interact with it at all. But you're going to be able to use smart glass with any mobile device, includes Android, iOS, and Windows Phone platforms, phones and tablets, and that all integrates with your Xbox, and you're going to actually be able to kind of share information, play a video on one platform, stop it, play it on another, get kind of interactive information. And while the idea is cool, in my opinion, it's like, why? Because, I mean, if I'm sitting down to watch a movie, I'm not going to be looking down at my phone to see, oh, this is some of the other stuff that's going on. I'm going to be watching TV.
Yeah, no, it's just
it's kind of the nonsense. Response to the Wii U's tablet. I see it.
Oh, the Fisher-Price tablet?
Yeah, that's what we said a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Which,
I like it when the South Park guys, was Trey Parker and Matt Stone came out to talk about the South Park game. At first they were like, we're here to show you a device that's going to let you, you know, look at your Xbox on your phone, on your computer, on your other phone, while you're sitting in your refrigerator, like basically just making fun of it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
I can see me using this like once because it's cool and new. And then after that one time, I don't really see me using it again.
Okay, like the smart glass, here's my thoughts on it. So like they're looking at the current technological world, and it's a world of devices. Everyone has a device. Everyone has their phone or their tablet or their BlackBerry or their whatever. They're constantly looking down into it as if it's this, some sort of crystal ball in their hands. And in this crystal ball is all their hopes and all their dreams. And they can't look up from it, and so they're thinking how could we capitalize on this device world that we now live in, and there you have smart glass.
it doesn't tickle my fancy that much. I mean, I'd like to have Xbox Live on my phone so I can check friends online and send messages. That's something feasible because it's something simple, and well, they haven't had it for Android, and they just released it like 2 days ago that they were pulling it to Android. I'm pushing it to Android, so I need to check the app marketplace to see if I can download it. But you don't need like a full immersive experience spanning across multiple devices, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Sometimes ha, simple.
Ha, 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 I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's overkill. In my opinion, it's overkill.
So, with that said, let's talk about Waypoint.
What were
the Waypoint demo that we saw?
Because this is not Microsoft Spectacular, right?
Hmm. But the Waypoint demo that we saw was smart glass, with having your Spartan stats on there, was pretty cool. But the fact that you go from your Xbox saying that you have new intel, going to your tablet, then you get a game invite on your Waypoint tablet, and then you click the invite, and it controls your Xbox to save the game and go play matchmaking. My thing would be, I get the notification on the Xbox, BSNJ wants to play. Oh, click guide button. Yeah, join exactly. The game. I'm not going to say on my tablet, oh, there's someone wants me to play. I'm going to click on my tablet because that's so much faster than clicking the guide button and clicking join. I mean, exactly. Yeah, the stuff they're doing is kind of cool. It's pointless, though.
Well, there's a Waypoint app on the iOS already too.
It's just the coolness factor. It's like Atlas. Atlas was a cool idea. Sure, being able to see your stuff in somewhat real time is cool. Knowing where weapon spawns. All right. If you're any level of a Halo nut that we are, you know where the weapons are. You know when they spawn. You know where your teammates are because you have that spatial recognition that you've developed over the last 10 years playing Halo. And that app is useless because you can't look at your TV screen and look down at your tablet like every 5 seconds, you die that way. There's no point. The only thing I would see Atlas useful for is competitive stuff when you can have a third party look in and see the map real time. Now, I've even talked to pro players about this, and they've said no, there would be no way that MLG or competitive people would use this because they've gotten so used to seeing everyone's screen and just knowing where people are. So, 343, you better have something up your sleeve for Waypoint when this thing comes out, because with how you're doing cross-platform integration, sure, it's a nice little feature, but it's not functionally sound and being used by many people, in my opinion. I don't know. Do you guys agree, disagree, comments?
Well, there, we can go back to that casual thing again. It's probably more towards those casual people that look at it and see it on a commercial or something and say, wow, that's cool. Let me go try that out.
So, but after you do that, how many people will use it for that function?
I don't know, because we don't have it yet. It might be actually useful.
I mean, if you think about it, that, you have that function. You can, you saw what we had on there. You could go through your Spartan loadout. You could go through your game history. You could go through your stats. You could go through your medals, and then you have this little notification area with things that come up, and you have the ticker at the bottom. It's like that stuff I would go on Waypoint between games or when I'm not playing.
Yeah.
That's not something I'd be doing in the middle of a game.
Right.
So,
we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Interesting concepts, not really that applicable, in my opinion. I'm hoping we see something, though.
Yeah.
Because I do want 343 to succeed. And they had a fine showing, at least on the campaign side at E3.
Yeah.
So.
You guys seen that the multiplayer gameplay from the MLG website, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Looks nice, although they need to fix the sounds. The sound bug.
I don't know.
Oh, the muffled sounds?
Yeah, the sound bug.
Yep. I'm sure, like I was saying, I'm sure they're just not like totally along in audio development. I mean, I'm sure they're getting there in due time.
Yeah. Since we forgot to do this, I'm going to do it now. But New Era, since you are our guest this week, you need to tell us a little bit about yourself, how you found Podtacular, what you kind of do around Podtacular, and what keeps you coming back every week to listening to the show.
Well, I
not
guess
to put you on the spotlight or anything, but you're in the spotlight.
Well, the way I found Podtacular actually was, I think way back, I don't know the actual year, but I had a Zune, I should say something, the big fat ones, the bricks, and I was searching the marketplace, and I saw Podtacular, and that's when Halo 3, I was a nut in Halo 3, and I clicked on it, and I watched some of their videos that they had, that they would post regularly, and I listened to their podcast while I play with, like, how Fumo was on it and stuff, so I don't know.
That was 2007 then.
Yeah, I think 07, yeah. It was around 07. I started listening around episode 50, I think.
Oh. Somewhere. That might be 2006.
Yeah, it was a while ago. I was still a little... 'Cause
that's about when I started listening, was around episode 50.
Yeah, it was around episode 50, and what I do around Podtacular, I'm on the forums quite a lot. I post stuff around there, putting, you know, gameplay footage so other people can see it, get their thoughts around, and yeah, just, and what keeps me coming back every week is you guys just give good feedback on Halo. There's not a lot of, I can't really find a lot of hardcore Halo fans out there, well, over here where I'm living now, so yeah.
Which is like the safest city in the U.S. you claim, right?
Well, it is actually. You can Google it if you want.
There's
Wait, where bars. Do you live?
El Paso, Texas, at the.
Oh, that's right. Safest place in.
There's lots of bars, so it is really safe, right?
I swear to God, if you look on
Google, put safest city in U.S., it will pop up.
I'm going to Google that right now. Safest city.
I was about to, but I'm going to let Def do it.
America, Forbes. Let's see this.
So have you gone by other names on Podtacular, or have you just not? Because I really didn't recognize your name before. Or have you just never signed up on the forums?
Oh, I had a forum. Like, I was on the forums like a year ago, but I actually forgot my login. So I just recently started posting on the forums.
You know, that's when you click forgot your password, right?
Well, I don't know. It was on another email account.
It's okay. We're having a new forum coming out in like 2 months, anyways.
Well, yeah, I'm on the forums right now. I'm posting.
Yeah, 2 months, right after spring break, right, Dusty?
You know what? You can shut up now. I've been making little progress here and there.
Right.
There's not enough time in the day.
Right.
I just need like a week vacation to do Podtacular stuff, and then a week vacation to do like Pod TV stuff, and then a week vacation to do some other stuff. Not enough time to do stuff.
Well, Egan and Private Church need their ranks. So yeah, that should be motivation.
They're not motivation. The only people that need their ranks.
Yeah, that should be motivation right there.
Actually, it's not, but I haven't forgotten about them or any of the other people. It's just whenever the new ones come up is when they're going to get their ranks.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah, that's how that's rolling right now. So the bulletin came out on the 13th, which was a little more than almost a week ago. We're recording on the 19th. So a lot of the questions were answered. A lot of questions were not answered. So I've asked these guys to pick up a couple of questions that they want to cover. But there's a couple of ones that I want to kind of nail down real quick. One of them is this one from Cypress Smurf. And this is on the bulletin. So how does the join in progress feature work in Halo 4 multiplayer? If we join during the game, will everyone's screen go black, or will the game stop in any way to compensate the change? Are there any certain restrictions on how the new feature works? And at what point in the game do we enter beginning, middle, or end? The reply to that is you will enter join in progress based on the playlist parameters, which will vary from do not join in progress to join at any time. So if you think about it, anything that's probably ranked, you're not going to be able to join in progress. Anything that's social, like big team or infection, you're probably going to be able to join in.
Yeah.
And I would assume that they're not going to stop the game, because if you think about how custom games work, if people come in, the game usually doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Unless the person coming in decides to somehow change the host to that person that just joined for some odd reason, that's the only time you should get black screen.
I think it's a good thing that they're integrating that, because usually when you play big teams, people start leaving or quitting. And the game will probably be like 8-2, and it's just kind of, the game just gets boring. So I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I think it should be pretty much welcomed. The only thing is, I think I'm not exactly sure how this works, but whenever you reach a max limit of people like playing, I don't know if other people can come in. So if maybe there's, so say if there's 14 people in a party of 16, but there are two people in there that left, if someone new can come in and fill that spot.
Mm.
I'm assuming you can do that. I just don't know how the other people that were in the game would they just drop off the list? I'm not exactly sure how that would work.
Yeah.
And this doesn't specify necessarily joining back in or having new people come and join in. So there's still some questions there to be answered on that one that we don't have specific answers to.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea, though.
Yeah, it is.
So, where's this Forge one? I forget where it is. Okay, so here's one. Here's the Forge one. Will Halo 4's Forge have themed Forge maps with greater Forge palette as to prevent the problem that Halo Reach had with all of its maps looking like gray Forerunner buildings? Majestic. That sounds like a question that we've asked on here many times. The response to that is Halo 4 Forge, like all aspects of the game, will have a significant improvements, changes, and or overhauls. We will be talking about those later this summer. I will, however, ask people to retain some semblance of dignity when imagining infinite tools that allow them to build a universe from scratch. To be clear, this will be a significant improvement in functionality and results, but it will continue the tradition that Forge's ease of use, scale, and scope, but it also won't be a buzzkill.
So basically saying, like, it'll be really in-depth and complex and amazing, but for a console, nowhere near what it could be if it was on PC.
Yeah. Much like Minecraft, if you guys ever played it.
Well, nothing is ever going to be as good as it can be on PC.
Mm-hmm.
Because PC just have so many tools at your disposal.
And I'm not, like, smacking the Xbox down and favoring the PC. I want Halo to be on Xbox. I'm just kind of stating facts.
Yeah. Partly because mods. You can't really have mods on the 360.
Well, no, you can have mods. What are you talking about? Well, Halo, like, 3 had Forge has
open mods. It's easier to get mods on the PC than it is on 360.
Yeah, but, like, I had some good times with mods back in Halo 3's day, like those elephants up in the sky on Sand Trap. That was good stuff. That was fun. And, like, the flying elephant. Well, actually, no, I think the flying elephant was actually pretty legit because they just, like, stuck a hornet inside there somehow with, like, some, like, trick or something with, like, grav lifts. And I think that was legit. I don't know if that was a mod.
I thought the floating elephants were you just put, like, a heap load of fusion coils.
Well, that's
there.
Like the exploding elephant. No, the floating elephant was some guys, because you know, like, on top of the elephant there's like those how do I describe this, there's like, you know, like on the sides of the elephant up top there's like those metal thing, I don't know, those things that they stick up and then they come like curve back down, like, you know what I mean? And so it's like it's very easy to place a hornet in there with, like, both, like, the hornet's wings kind of being stuck in those things sticking on the sides. And then they did some, like, trick with, like, they kept the hornet, like, stuck in there with, like, using, like, grav lifts and, like, some, you know, some kind of trick with, like, just genuine, like, objects. And so the hornet was, like, stuck in the elephant. And so when you got in the hornet and you fly it up and it pulls the elephant up with it and you're flying elephant around. It's like really cool.
Yeah. Forge in Halo 3 was a work of art almost because of how difficult it was.
Yeah. You don't really see, like, I don't really see anything that, like, wows me anymore or like on Reach Forge.
Well, cause everything is gray or brown in Forge World.
That's true.
That's one of the reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
Is that color palette is missing.
Yeah.
Another question I want to pull from here is, how will we acquire the Spartan Ops missions every week? Will they take up a large amount of room on the hard drive? From Spartan King. Response to that is, it will require storage and, more importantly, an Xbox Live Gold account. For online play and downloadable content, folks should definitely consider this when purchasing Halo 4. Although, I would note that it doesn't matter which version of the game, limited edition or standard edition, since it's included in the price of Halo 4. So, no information there.
A lot of space.
It depends on how they deliver this. Because I honestly think if, with the rumors of Forge that we have, being able to kind of alter terrain in Forge and kind of make your own playing field almost, if they can do that in Forge, then pushing these maps maybe to where they're only like 20 megs and having scenarios built into them, I don't see it being a huge download. But then if the maps are already pre-built into the game because of how much space there is, what kind of limitations or recycled use of maps are we going to have? Or the third theory that some people have mentioned is a two-disc game.
Wouldn't bother me.
I wouldn't mind. I don't get why people would be so upset for a two-disc
game. It's because you have to switch discs.
Oh, no. Really, you got to get out of your chair.
I would almost say, if you can install the second disc and just play from the first one, that'd be the way to go.
I'd rather have a second disc than have, like, 5 or 6 gigs of Halo Spartan Ops.
Wait, so how would two discs work? Would disc one be campaign and then Disc 2 is all multiplayer, meaning like matchmaking, theater, Forge, customs, etc.? How would that work, you think?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Like the ODST?
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
Like, you know,
because with the campaign, I mean, that's a lot to load. Like, I remember when I first played.
Well, especially if you look at how much detail was in the demo that we got. I mean, that thing looked pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh.
I remember, like, when I first played the multiplayer edition that came with ODST, it's like, wow, this all loads so fast now because it doesn't have to load the campaign stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's how they should do it, honestly.
Yeah, Battlefield 3 does it, like, perfectly fine. Like, one disc is campaign, the other disc is, like, multiplayer and co-op. That works totally fine for Battlefield.
Yeah.
Because they were so segregated.
Yeah.
And they're trying to integrate these together, like Spartan Ops and the whole story of the Infinity in with the campaign, so it depends on whether or not they can actually separate that, which I think they can.
Yeah, what disc would Spartan Ops go on, like, or like run off of, I guess, a campaign or a multiplayer? I guess multiplayer could like co-op, right?
Well, I can almost see either or. Because if you're...
Like, it's flexible to be on either disc.
Well, the Spartan Ops is basically on Requiem. You're doing other multiplayer spaces.
Yeah.
Or other campaign spaces.
Yeah.
So it's similar architecture, so I wouldn't see them not using the campaign disc. But then again, you're not going to have as many graphical resources on the multiplayer disc because each map is about like anywhere between 170 megs to 300 megs per map.
Yeah.
So you still have a lot of space on the multiplayer disc. So I could see either or, really.
Well, there's one question on the bulletin, like, how will we acquire Spartan Ops missions every week? Will they take up a large amount of room on the hard drive, blah, blah, blah. And they answered it will require storage and, more importantly, a gold account for online play and downloadable content. So if it requires storage...
I mean, look at the people with the 360 Slim with the 4 gigs in it. That's barely anything, right?
Well...
When it comes to downloading
that's
stuff.
That's when people need to buy a better hard drive. It's like,
gamers that we love so much.
I like the 250 gig hard drive. It's nice and big. But if Spartan Ops is DLC that you download and install on your hard drive, wouldn't it then be able, like this DLC, the separate, you know, file or whatever, be able to run on either disk because both disks have the same engine?
I don't know.
I suppose it could.
Right.
Another quick question that relates to this, since we're on the topic, is from E-Lantern. If we miss a week or more of Spartan Ops because of military duties or other unfortunate reasons, will I be able to make up previous weekly mission installments,
sure,
including watching the cinematography videos that are to be released with each weekly mission installment? And the response is, your 360 will act like a DVR with a season pass. You play it when you want it, and you replay when you want it. So whenever stuff gets released is when it's available, and then you can go back and play them anytime.
Yeah.
So it's like unlocking a campaign. It's like you have to start from the beginning, but once you get to the end, you can go back and replay any part you want.
Yeah. I could never see Spartan Ops being something like, you know, you gotta do it now, right when it comes out. You know, you miss it, you know, too bad. You know.
Well, I could see them doing that based on credits. So whenever a new week comes out, it's like you have challenges for that week based on the Spartan Ops missions that have come out.
Yeah.
I could see them doing something like that.
Like challenges? We haven't touched on challenges for Halo 4 much, have we? Right?
No, we haven't.
They need to have, just like, this is going to be really quick. I mean, I would love them to have a lot of challenges, like not just 4 every day. A lot more than that, and plus like multiple weeklies, like multiple weeklies, but don't have each weekly be like impossible. Like it's kind of like you know, it's like how it is in Reach now is like one weekly and it's like it's hard and it might take a while.
The 200 rounds and fight.
Yeah,
that ring a bell?
What if I don't want to do that? Like they could give us multiple weeklies each week, but just have them be like a little toned down for each of them, like more like doable. That's why there's multiple of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you think about it, they're encouraging diversifying your experience.
What do you mean?
That's how they're well, so if you think about it, there's Firefight Thursdays. So if you want to get any of the challenges on Thursdays, you have to do Firefight related stuff. And if you look at all of the challenges that we get, it's a big mix up every week. Where
I mean,
it's campaign.
To me, it seems like it's
they're like pushing firefight all the time on the challenges.
That's because it's easy.
Like last week it was a firefight weekly, and this week it's another firefight weekly challenge.
It's kind of strange.
I think it's like complete 70 rounds.
The way it is right now does not strike me as diversity. Like, oh, and today you only got firefight stuff to do.
Well,
no,
I'm talking about the daily stuff.
The real diversity would be like every day there's dailies for all modes across the spectrum.
But
with weeklies. Real diversity would be like every week there's multiple weeklies spectrum.
I'm talking about a different diversity where each – they're basically making you every day, because if you had the diversity you're talking about, then it would appeal to everyone and everyone would still go about playing their own game type, where if you did something different daily, you'd be forcing someone who wants to go after those challenges.
Yeah, let's go force them to play something they don't like.
Well, I mean,
no, that's stupid. Just have it across the spectrum, like for all days, all weeks.
I mean, that's how we would prefer it. Yeah,
I'm gonna read a question real quick, because people have been bugging about this, is will the medals remain as they are now, or will they be changed in the original Halo medal color style? And the answer is, all UI elements are early complete, but the undergoing final passes on art and design. Expect the game to look somewhat like the E3 build, but don't be surprised by alterations and tweaks. Sorry, couldn't read it.
So yeah, that's more fluff.
I can see that they probably look the same, just a little bit more detail into them. I don't think
No. All of your standard medals that get you 10 points are blue. All of them that get you, I think, like 30 points are red, and then the yellow ones are 20 or something like that. So you have one question that you want to get to, Era?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of a blatant one. How limited is limited edition? And the answer to that is, we are producing significantly less copies of Halo 4 limited edition than previous Halo releases, though a small percentage of the total manufactured units.
So one of the things for this is, if you look at the limited editions in the past, they haven't been really limited. So I'm wondering if this means that they're making a finite number, because at least for Reach with the Legendary Edition, they actually had a number that they were producing, and that was it. I think it was like 40,000 or something.
Yeah.
Legendary Editions, and I think those are still on sale even.
Yeah, I still see some in like GameStops.
So I'm wondering how or what limit they're going to put on how many limited editions they're going to make, because I know I've already pre-ordered the limited edition. So yeah, I'm wondering if they're going to judge that off of the pre-orders on how many they're going to make, or if they already have a set number in place.
I don't know how that would work.
I don't know how they can control that with pre-ordered, because I'm assuming with everyone that's already pre-ordered, it's like, well, they really haven't had a limit, so yeah.
What if you pre-ordered a limited edition and come to find out they ran out, and I'd be pretty mad.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would be mad. So I'm assuming they're probably going to get some kind of pre-order statistics based off of all these resellers that are selling.
The pre-orders.
And then they'll probably make a surplus related to that afterwards.
Yeah, like maybe 1,000, 2,000.
No, it'll be more than that. It'll be on.
No, I'm just throwing out numbers, but.
So we'll see how that happens. Daf, did you have any questions you wanted to address before we move on to submissions?
Let me see.
Out of the 34 that was given to us, according to BS Angel.
Yeah.
We're going to take that as a no.
No, there is one. It's Laser says, is Spartanops strictly co-op, or can you play it solo? Answer, Spartanops is hard but achievable in solo. However, you can also matchmake on a permission basis. It should be relatively trivial to find help on tough missions if your friends are all lame or dead. That makes me think maybe there'll be like a, because it said Spartanops is hard but achievable in solo, maybe there'll be like an achievement to do one solo.
Yeah, like there's achievement for beating Reach by
or do Empire. Like a weekly set solo.
Maybe.
Maybe. Depends on how hard they are.
Is Spartan Ops gonna have difficulty settings? I was like, maybe.
I wouldn't. Firefight had difficulty settings, so I wouldn't see putting it past 343 to not put difficulty settings in there, or to put difficulty settings in there.
Yeah.
I think it'd be okay. All right, so we have some voicemails that we've been meaning to play on the past few episodes, but we haven't been able to. But we're going to play them now. So sit back and enjoy.
Hey, Fartacular guys. This is Darian from Hartford, South Carolina. And I had a theory as far as Requiem goes when it comes to the Halo 3 terminals. Sorry, I'm walking right now, so there's a lot of traffic noise. But pretty much my idea was, like, in, I think it was the last terminal in Halo 3, the Didact and the Librarian were having a conversation, and they were saying, well, and the Librarian was talking about and describing how beautiful of a place that she was in, and the Didact was saying pretty much that he knew where she was. And for a while, I know, like, I did, and I'm pretty sure the community might have thought so as well, that it might have been Eri Tyrene, which is Earth. But, like, with Requiem and, like, seeing the concept art for Requiem and stuff like that, I was thinking that maybe, like, you know, maybe she's on Requiem, maybe we'll get some information as far as the Librarian goes when it comes to that. And, yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. Cool. Like, see you.
So I didn't catch the guy's name. Did either of you guys catch it?
No, I just heard South Carolina.
All right, yeah. So he actually sent in he sent in 11, but we cut them down to 3 that were playing from him. So, sorry, dude, but we got to give other people a chance to get their submissions in. But he was talking about the Halo 3 terminals, how the Librarian was talking about the beautiful places that she was at. And she was riding back and forth between the Didact, which is actually her partner. And from what he was saying, I guess people thought that she was on Earth and talking about that. But then he said that his opinion was that she might have been on Requiem. So I haven't read the books to know. I'm assuming you guys haven't read the books to know either.
No, I haven't read.
So we don't have informed personnel to really talk about what you just addressed, so I'm sorry. But call us back in like 3 months or so, and I should be done through those books.
Well, on the E3 demo, we could see that Requiem is a pretty beautiful place, so she could be talking about it.
Yeah, definitely possible.
Yeah,
not exactly sure. So we'll play your next two voicemails next and go ahead and get those out of the way.
Hey, Podtacular people. This is Darian Brown from Hartsville, South Carolina, again. And I was having a discussion with some of my friends on Xbox Live about the comparisons between Halo 4 and like Call of Duty and stuff like that, and how a lot of the Call of Duty community think that Halo is copying some aspects from Call of Duty. And why I'm not one of those people who are like, oh, they shouldn't steal ideas. Like, as a consumer, like, if you see where something's going well with somebody else, you just, like, you can adapt that to your thing. I understand that kind of thing, but I actually don't see it. And based on what me and my friend Rags of the Dazzle were seeing on YouTube with the Aliens Colonial Marines thing, we see where, like, a lot of people are just kind of like, attacking Call of Duty players because they're comparing Aliens Colonial Marines to Call of Duty. So I think it's getting to the point where like Call of Duty players are pretty much just like saying if it's a game with humans and they have guns, that like it's pretty much like a ripoff of Call of Duty. So I don't know I'm pretty sure you guys haven't been putting too much, you know, taking what these people are saying as far as comparisons go, but yeah, I just thought of putting my own two cents because I'm walking. But anyway, bye.
Okay, so he was talking about bad aftertaste. So there's been a lot of comparisons with Halo 4 and Call of Duty. And we've had this discussion on the podcast before where a lot of these AAA titles are going to have a lot of similarities between them. Yeah. So you look at Battlefield. Battlefield has its class loadout. Call of Duty has its class loadout. Halo Reach has its class loadout. So it's just going to be a natural evolvement.
Call of Duty doesn't have classes. It just has loadouts. You can put whatever you want into it.
Class loadout similar. They're similar.
There's a difference. There's a difference,
but they're similar.
There's a difference between classes and loadouts. Battlefield actually has classes with specific roles. You know, was it assault / medic, engineer, support. Scout, and support. And Halo, I mean, that's something Halo's different entirely. Out. Halo is no, Halo's it's not loadout. Loadout. You can't put anything you want into it, like the customization, like in Call of Duty.
They're
Halo.
Preset
and
loadouts.
And Halo,
though.
It's just like picking ability. And
well, you have preset loadouts in Call of Duty. And you have preset loadouts in Reach.
But I'd say that those are far more customizable than in Reach. In Reach, it's barely loadout. It's just here, pick an ability, you know, and that's it. You all get the same gun. You all get the same grenades.
And like a lot of people are crying that Halo 4, everyone's gonna have Sprint, everyone's gonna already have Sprint. But I think it's a good thing because
that's a natural evolution if you look at it, though.
And, yeah, it's being a modern FPS with that
up,
one.
It frees up all the other abilities that you can use, because in Reach, a lot of the other abilities got kind of outshined by Sprint, because mostly everybody used Sprint, so... Now, you'll see a diversity of abilities on when you're playing now.
Yeah, like in Battlefield. In Battlefield, everyone has Sprint, and it works out just fine. Yeah.
And if you think about it, Sprint just works for a super soldier.
Yeah. Well, and it'll... They're saying that Halo 4 will be like the fastest Halo, and it's just like a good gameplay thing to do also, because it's going to be probably the fastest Halo game to date.
Yeah.
Because aren't they tweaking like jump height and everything too?
I mean, they're still tweaking it. It's not the final product, but I'd assume so, yeah.
Like, they're making them like jump higher and move faster and everything.
Thank you for reminding me of Halo 3. I forgot some. I now remember something that I forgot to say earlier. Let me say this really quick. When you mentioned that question in the bulletin about the Forge palette and all that, Halo 4 needs to be like Halo 3 in the aspect of maps. They need to go back to having a very large number of a completely original organic maps, just like in Halo 3.
I believe that
number of maps, if not more.
That has to be what they're doing, though.
Like original organic, like none of this, like no more Forge world. I mean, like, have a Forge world with a colorful palette, but then also have, separately original organic maps that are not straight out of the campaign. That like they're their own creations.
They're not going to make the same mistake of pulling maps out of the campaign.
Yeah,
I can tell you already, they're not going to make that mistake.
Hopefully, just do what Halo 3 did. You know, original organic maps.
Yep.
Not from the
game. You see some influence from the campaign and some of the maps. I mean, if you look at Construct, you can see where it is or where it could be played in the campaign, but it's an original play area.
Yeah, it's like that area at the end of the arc where you fight all those brutes and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think, in terms of comparing Halo to Call of Duty, it's inevitable. People are going to do it, but I don't think it's anything to worry about.
Yeah.
Or be upset over. That's just the natural evolution of games at this point for first-person shooters, is people are going to take the best ideas from a variety of sources and integrate it in with their stuff. Because that's just how it works.
It's just being modern FPS.
But let's get on to this person's last one. And it sounded like his name was Dane Brown, something like that.
Yeah.
But so let's go ahead and play his last one.
Hey, Project Clear, this is Ag 3 from the forums, and I was just listening to your E3 2012 discussion about Halo 4, primarily about the Promethean vision. And my thoughts on like why it was called like the visor and why there was no discernible time limit on it, as compared to like an armor ability would be in Halo 4 multiplayer. Like my thoughts on it would be like, I'm a little out of breath, I'm not gonna lie. But my thoughts on it would be like kind of like how Assassin's Creed was. Like their multiplayer, how it was just called Eagle Vision in the campaign. But how it's called Templar Vision in the multiplayer. And how when you did Eagle Vision in the campaign, then there was no like this time limit you could do. You could play the whole game in like freaking like Eagle Vision if you wanted to. But multiplayer had like a cooldown period and stuff like that. And that's how I imagine Halo 4 would be. So yeah, that's just my thoughts. All right, bye.
All right, so we already have confirmed that the vision that was used in the campaign demo was, in fact, Promethean Vision. Frankie came out and said that publicly. So I don't think we're going to see any like different names for the armor abilities between the multiplayer and the campaign. We haven't seen them that way in the past. I don't see why we've seen them that way now.
I think you just said that because in the demo, Cortana said, what did she say, visor? Visor
yeah,
mode?
Yeah, she said activating visor mode. But Frankie did come out and say that that was Promethean Vision.
Yeah.
I think it's just for the sake of gameplay, that's what they decided to use for dialogue, just activating visor mode. And maybe that's just what Cortana uses after a while.
Well, yeah, because it sounds more human, I guess.
Right, it sounds more natural that way. And if you look at the armor ability icon that was above the radar on Master Chief's HUD, it's the same one that they use in the multiplayer, sorry.
Yeah.
So we know it's Promethean Vision.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that? When you Jonathan, didn't you link that the MLG gameplay match, the video Halo 4? Yeah. That's it. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched it
before you sent it to me.
Yeah, the MLG Slayer match on Haven, known as Horror House. So the guy who we saw like playing, he was like spamming that thing. I thought the whole match pretty much.
Yeah. So if you listen,
I hope
some
it isn't abused to death.
Well, and if you look at it, that's kind of how these events are kind of playing out. It's almost they're almost playtests in a way, and that almost supports information to have a beta. And they're probably gonna do a closed beta. I bet that's what they're gonna do. They're not gonna do an open beta. Yeah. They're gonna do a closed beta, which we may or may not be a part of. We'll see.
That'd be cool.
That'd be nice.
Throw us a bone.
So from a lot of the commentary from a lot of the pros that were at E3 was that because of how the recharge rate on the Promethean Vision worked and how the effect kind of went out is you could basically spam it. And the longer it's on, the wider the spread goes out, or the ping for the Promethean Vision goes out. But if you're looking for just around the corner that's maybe like 20 feet away from you, you don't have to have it on too long to see where people are. And a lot of these pro players, once they see where someone is and what and direction they're facing and see just a little movement of them, they know exactly where they're going.
Yeah.
It's ingrained in their head to think like that. So from people that play Halo on a regular basis, that's going to be a big issue is spamming that. But yes, Daft, you're right. They were spamming that excessively.
Yep.
And that's something that they're going to have to address in the final version of the game.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll either fix it in development or, you know, once the game's out and people are actually playing it and using it.
They need to fix
before
release.
And they're listening to feedback. Then, like, worst case, they could just nerf it in a patch.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that how they're doing this with PAX and E3 is definitely playtests for the game, and they're going to alter it based on those playtests.
But they shouldn't be.
Because I bet you they're taking all the saved films from all of those matches, and they're going through and analyzing it. I bet you that's what they're doing.
Yeah. I just hope they're not like totally against the idea of like patching stuff post release, like if it's a good idea if it's needed. Based
we
on the
will
community
find out.
Feedback. Listen to the community, 343.
I think they're being good about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we will have to see. So.
But anyway, by the way, anyone who wants to see that MLG gameplay video, you can find it on the Podtacular forums in the Halo 4/anniversary board.
And I'll throw a link up with the post on this podcast.
Yeah.
I think I linked it on the forums already.
Yeah, so that's the thread I'm talking about.
I'll throw a link on the front page with this post as well.
Okay.
So, actually, someone commented on, I think, the E3 show that we did, that we, with all the images and links that we talk about, he wants us to do kind of like an archive of those for every show. So, we might start doing that. It just takes extra time to go through and compile that list.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. But let's finish the rest of the voicemails real quick.
Hey, guys. I just found something really interesting yesterday and today. Yesterday, I got that email that sent out that piece of the puzzle or whatever for the, I guess it was the box art for Halo 4, and that looks pretty cool. But today I log on to Xbox and I get that one of those little options like pre-order Halo 4. And I'm just reading the description and it says, Master Chief returns to battle an ancient evil bent on vengeance and annihilation. And I've never read that anywhere on any description of this Halo game. So vengeance is very specific. So I'm just wondering if it's vengeance against humanity or vengeance against just the galaxy, but most likely it's humanity. So whoever wants to kill humanity, that's probably who we're going to be facing against. So yeah, love the podcast, and talk to you later.
So that was for the most part, I think vengeance is kind of a strong word. We haven't seen that really anywhere else, have we? Vengeance? It wasn't really mentioned at E3 or focused on.
They push is an ancient evil will arise.
Yeah, they didn't say anything. So he said that this was a description on the Xbox dashboard for pre-ordering Halo 4. So we know that the Didact had some issues with humans in the past.
Yeah.
But then, and don't quote me on this because I haven't read the books, but from people that I've talked to and stuff I've looked up, he kind of turned for the humans instead. But then there's this other Forerunner, Mendicant Bias. So we don't know. Yeah, vengeance could mean a lot in this case.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I love how these awesome screenshots on the Halo Bulletin only have, like, 2 wallpaper resolutions. Thanks for that. 343.
Well, most of them you can already find in the screenshot gallery.
Where is that?
If you go to Halo 4 and then do screenshots. So there's standard HD resolutions anyways. 720 and 1080. But no surprise there.
Thanks. Thanks, Deathstorm. Thanks.
Wow. On that note, let's play our next one.
Hello, Podtacular. I listened to your previous podcast, and it was talking about the trailer, and I've seen the trailer. And I actually know what's going on. I'm going to put a tag here. This is a spoiler. Spoiler. I mean, big time. On the second book of the Forerunner saga, they show a monitor taking over a ship. Now, I wish I could tell you this monitor, but this monitor is very close to the Didact itself, even though the Didact is supposed to be dead. And I guess I know more, but I'm not going to review any more. I think you should read the Forerunner saga. It's for both books. It's really an enlightenment of understanding. So check it out. Bye.
Planning on reading it. Getting there, slowly but surely. So I haven't heard anything about a monitor taking over a ship before.
I haven't either.
He said that this monitor was close to the Didact. I'm also assuming that these Forerunner books are taking place in the past, way back in the past, so we don't know kind of how applicable it is to human vessels, because the humans are the reclaimers. In the eyes of the Forerunners, they are kind of the successors.
Yeah.
So how that plays into the whole reality of Halo, the Halo universe, is kind of still of a mystery to us at this point. And until we, like, it's an interesting little factoid right there that you see monitors taking over ships. I would assume that during wartime, though, they would be tasked to do such a thing, but we're not really in war per se, or we don't know for sure if we are at war with this new enemy yet. But I think that's something that remains to be discussed later. And then we have this last email, which I'm not sure how this got to us or where it came from, but go ahead and listen for your enjoyment.
My name is and I'm calling, hold on just a second here, to update my reminder for calendar. The date for reminder is Thursday, June the 7th, 2012. So, this is June the 8th. Is it too late to do that? I sure would like to have it done. Please give me a call at... I think that's right. I thank you very, very much. Bye for now.
But it was pretty funny nonetheless. And the number that she left, which we bleeped out, is actually not even the number that she called from. So, did you guys hear the grandfather clock in the background going off?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. Anyways, those are the voicemails that we had for this week. Thank you guys for sending those in. If you want to leave a voicemail for us or kind of tell us some funny Halo thing that happened to you, it could be anything that's related to the books. It could be anything that's related to a funny tale that you have, or maybe some custom games that you've developed or maps that you've worked on. Feel free to call us. Our voicemail number is 206-339-6937, and leave about a minute and a half clip. Also, if you want a little bit better audio quality than the calling, you can actually send us an MP3 attachment with your recording. You can do that with Audacity, you can do that with Goldwave, or however you want to record your audio. Just make sure it's kind of under 2 minutes. A minute and a half is kind of the optimal length that we play on the show. So you can do either the voicemail or you can send us an MP3. And we'll play it on the show.
Send them in. Send them.
So a little tidbit that we haven't addressed yet, which I'm kind of surprised that I haven't brought up yet. But today, as of this recording, the file share functionality on the website Waypoint is now live.
Woo!
So you can go on to anyone's Halo Reach profile, go to their file share, and you can actually download to Xbox through the website. So that's going to make things a lot easier now as opposed to how it was without the file share. So all that functionality that was on Bungie.net for downloading files to your Xbox, linking to files, is now available on Halo Waypoint. And I will be putting up a video probably the day this gets released, which hopefully is tomorrow as of this recording. So cool. Make sure you check that out. Make sure you check out your file share. Start uploading stuff you want to share with your people. And we will be having that functionality integrated with our new forums. That's going to be one of the features.
But yeah, after spring break.
I don't know, just check back regularly on the beta forums. You never know what you might see. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. We have a few submissions that we have to wrap up some of the E3 stuff. I think actually one of them is just E3 related. The other ones are kind of just random. But we have a few, and we're going to go ahead and read through those now. So, Daft, I don't know if you want to take the really long one. I don't feel like burdening Arrow with the long one, so I figured I'd give him the middle one. So do you want to do the first? Do you want to do the first person? Or do you want to do the last person?
No. Don't put it in your pocket. Don't put it in your pocket, Dusty. It's your lucky quarter. Put it anywhere but your pocket. You put it in your pocket. And it just gets mixed with all the others, and it becomes just a coin.
I'm so confused.
Which it is. People who've watched No Country for Old Men will get that.
I have not seen that movie.
Oh, okay.
I've wanted to see that movie, but I have not seen it yet.
Don't put it in your pocket.
Anyways, which one do you want to read?
Let me get to the show notes.
Like, you don't have them up?
Take guard.
I sent them to you for a reason.
I'm sorry, I'm dumb. I suck.
Why did you close them?
Because I suck, I don't know.
That's not what you're supposed to do.
So which one do you want me to read?
You can either pick the Capoeasum or Zoltan.
Capoeasum? You mean Cap Awesome?
I suck. Yeah, that one. Cap Awesome. Cap Awesome or Zoltan.
Cap Awesome. So wait, you want me to read all of his?
Yeah, you can either do both of those. Or
he says one in brackets.
That's his first submission.
And I know
he has two of them. So
Cap Awesome 9870 says, I know that there's not much information about the Forge in Halo 4, but when more information comes out, could you do a podcast or two things? We sure will do that, absolutely.
We will be doing that, yes.
Two, in brackets. I know what game type you could have for your Ying Bell. The main problem is that it's currently not available in Halo game type, so it'll have to be released for 343i and for Halo Reach, or I'm not going to release in Reach, or Halo 4. My game type is actually a variant of the kid game Red Rover. Send XXX right over.
Yeah, so it's Red Rover, send so many people over.
And Infection. My variant will support two-day teams, best for four. Each team you kill, each time you kill someone, that person will be sent over to your team. And if you die, you are sent to that person's team. Should even work if the last man standing sticks someone and then dies. Then the person he stuck spawns as the team that just killed him, making the last few kill that take the longest. I'm hoping that you, the Podtacular team, in brackets, could use your clout with 343i. Oh yeah, our clout, right. To get this game type started and hopefully release with Halo 4. Please email me if questions about my idea or need someone on the Forge in Halo Reach or upcoming Forge 3, thanks. Well, you know, we'll use our clout with them to get this Ying Bell going in the game.
I guess I kind of see what he's looking at. So it's almost like an infection where you can swap back and forth between teams.
Mm.
That could work.
To leapfrog.
I'm not...
No, I'm kidding.
I could see problems with it.
You want a fun time? Go play Frogger in real life. cross a 5-lane highway. Don't do that. Really, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's a poor decision.
Yeah.
Joke.
All right.
Don't do that.
Era, do you want to read Redeem Spartan?
Sure. All right. This question comes from Redeem Spartan 05. Hey guys, so there seems to be a lot of discussion on who Cortana is talking to at the end of Halo 4's demo. She appeared to be on the Infinity, so I think maybe the ship was going to leave Chief because he went on a suicide mission and Cortana doesn't want to leave him behind. Just a suggestion that I haven't heard talked about yet. Keep up the good work.
So my initial thought is whatever this ancient evil is, whether it's the Didact, Mendicant Bias, or some other Forerunner person, I have a feeling Cortana is talking to that person, preventing that ancient evil from leaving Requiem.
Yeah.
That's my gut instinct. And I know there's the clip at the end of the campaign demo where Chief is holding Cortana's data chip. I'm not exactly sure what that means. It could mean a lot of things. Could just be Chief is down for something and it's just a really dramatic scene. It's lacking a lot of context. So that could mean a number of things. There's the other theory that she could be it's part of her rampancy. She's talking about the chief or something.
I have a feeling it's probably this ancient evil, though, that's basically taken over Requiem. Because so with the live action part of the demo that came before the demo gameplay, whenever you see the sweep go off, you see the symbol for this. Can we call it something else? Because that's just hard to say.
Say?
Just saying ancient evil every time sounds a little cliche.
Ancient evil.
But anyway, the symbol for this ancient evil pops up on the screens in the Infinity. So it's definitely trying to take over. And if Cortana's on the Infinity and trying to battle with this ancient evil that's taking over the ship, she might just be battling for the life of the ship and trying to prevent this ancient evil. It's getting repetitive. From leaving Requiem.
Yeah.
That's my thought on it.
Sure.
That's a pretty good speculation that he made, though.
It's definitely an interesting one.
Yeah.
Chief going on a suicide mission? I'm not sure about that, because, I mean, you Spartans, they're going on suicide missions all the time, so it's not kind of out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
But we've seen Chief leave Cortana behind before. Yeah. So maybe that's what he's talking about, where Chief just leaves Cortana. Anyways, last submission that we have for the night, and I'll wrap up the show with, is from Zoltan. He writes in, I've been listening for about 6 months now, but mainly got hooked when Halo 4 info started being revealed in the beginning of March. So recently I read on one of the bulletins that there will be a total of 10 maps at launch shipping with Halo 4. Doesn't that seem a little low? Granted, we haven't seen what 343 plans to do with Halo 4 Forge, but as of now, I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping for around 12 maps at launch. Didn't it say 10 maps with DLC?
Yeah.
I don't think it said 10 maps at the start. I think it said 10 maps total with DLC.
Oh, so you're saying the DLC will come with 10 maps total?
Yeah, so the three map packs that you get free access to with the limited edition is a total of 10 maps spanned over three map packs.
Yeah, because launching a game with only 10 maps for Halo seems pretty small.
So I think...
It's called Reach.
Well, in his next sentence he has, Halo Reach shipped with 8 maps at launch, one of them being Forge World. Let's look at these 2 Invasion maps, which meant not only did Invasion get old fast because it was only 2 maps, but that also means just 5 maps were standard 4v4 maps. Forge World maps with the same repetitive color palette and geometry swallowed the majority of the map selection and made Reach have a lot less staying power than Halo 3, which had supreme maps. And some of Halo 3's maps were more versatile and could appear in 4v4 and 8v8. Valhalla, for example. Each of Halo 3's maps had a unique style. Guardian had a surrounding swamp, Sandtrap had elephants and it was a giant desert, and Boundless had the ability to frustrate any player.
Yeah, with those turrets.
Oi! Back, Guardian!
Oi! Where do you think you're going?
I love that little machine.
No, you're not. Yeah, you better run.
I hope they bring back Guardian.
Yeah.
So you want a spiritual successor of a spiritual successor?
I don't care. Just bring it back.
I don't know. Guardian, it's okay.
I was like,
it's okay.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I know pro players loved it, but it's like you camp up at Snipe 3 and you're like, that's just, that kills gameplay for me. It's just that camping spot right there.
Mm-hmm. But think about it, like all the armor abilities and stuff, like that map will just, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, let it be.
Maybe, you know, yeah.
Let it be. You know, it gets remade in Forge all the time in Reach. It'll get remade in Forge in Halo 4, which you know, hopefully...
Every map down the line, unless it's like big and convoluted, something like Sidewinder or Chiron, usually gets remade in Forge.
Yeah.
Let that map, you know, be it. It had its day in the sun, and it will live on in Forge.
I would like there's a certain aesthetic okay to maps that actually get remade and remade properly.
Yeah. I'm okay with all the original organic maps in Halo 4, like all of them just being original, not any remakes, as long as they're all equally amazing.
Well, all the games have had some kind of map that's been remade at some point.
Yeah, I'm just saying if they did just do only original stuff for the maps and like the basic maps in Halo 4.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd be fine with that as long as they were all like awesome.
Right.
You know, because the classics will live on in Forge at least.
Yep. Continuing on, I'm starting to ramble, but I think you see my point. Myself and the majority of Halo players hope that we don't see it just a few or bad maps that get voted over and over and again in the playlist. 10 is a decent number, not great. It's probably more than 10, though. I'll be honest, I hardly play Reach multiplayer anymore, and this is coming from someone who played Halo 3 from its release date up until Reach's launch, and even today. Reach didn't have enough variety and enough opportunities for fun. Also, what was up with the no vehicles and 4v4 maps in Reach? Last Resort, High Ground, Valhalla, anyone? Those are Halo 3 maps. Those are not Reach maps, those are Halo 3 maps.
You're kind of right about that when you think about it.
Oh, but he's talking about vehicle. Okay, never mind. He's talking about having
vehicles. And when you go in like Team Slayer in Halo Reach, it's all just like small close quarters on foot maps. And there's, yeah. I mean, unless you get like, I think they used to have, there used to be
4v4 on Valhalla is slow though.
Yeah, but I remember like I think they used to have Hemorrhage in the Team Slayer playlist on Reach, right? It was like 4v4 Slayer on Hemorrhage. I think I remember that.
That would take a while.
It did take a while.
Team Snipers takes a while on Hemorrhage.
But it's like, you know, when you go in...
Me or does Hemorrhage not feel like Blood Gulch?
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
It's not curved enough. It's too straight. You know?
I mean, I see the layout is very similar, nearly the same, but it just doesn't feel like Blood Gulch.
Yeah,
I think it's because that open-ended ocean at the end of it.
I'm pretty sure there used to be 4v4 Team Slayer Hemorrhage on Reach back in the day. I think there was, and I guess they scrapped it, maybe, I don't know. But it's like, yeah, when you go into Team Slayer or Super Slayer or whatever on Reach now, yeah, it's all like close quarters on foot maps. There's like zero vehicle action at all.
Yeah.
It's like vehicle action is like confined to big game, basically, in Reach, like, it seems.
Ghost.
Yeah.
And I think that's just because of the map designs.
Yeah.
Could you... On a lot of the 4v4 maps for Reach, you really couldn't use vehicles that effectively in 4v4. So Powerhouse, yeah. Sword Base, there's like no room for vehicles in those.
Sword Base, I wouldn't mind seeing some like Mongoose action on that. That could work, right? Like across those bridges and stuff. I mean, it could work.
Probably not, though.
That could be a cool racetrack. Ever think of that?
I think people have made racetracks on them.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Reach was still an awesome game, and I enjoyed the campaign and multiplayer suite quite a bit. I'm not one of those people that complains over armor abilities or that Halo is experiencing codification, and I'm unbelievably stoked for Halo 4. Everything so far looks amazing. I hope it's just as awesome as it looks to be as of now. Well, Duststorm, Daftlink, and whoever else is on the show, what do you think of the 10 maps showing with the disc on day 1? Do you think it's a good or bad number? I hope to see you both at Halo 4 and PAX Prime. To see you in Halo 4 at PAX Prime.
When is PAX Prime?
The last weekend in August. I'm going.
Oh, shit. Probably can't go to that because I probably have school. Damn it.
I'm going.
I'm going to Comic-Con. I'm wondering if there's going to be any Halo there.
Wait, is PAX, so it's, PAX is on like a weekday? It's not on like a weekend?
Starts Friday and Sunday.
Oh, I could maybe go to that weekend. No, I should look into that. And anyone can go, like not just press people.
Well, all the spectator passes are gone. You can't buy passes anymore unless you buy them off of eBay.
Oh, never mind.
They sold out within the first week.
That's dumb.
Yep.
It's like BlizzCon. All those BlizzCon tickets sell out within the first like 2 days.
I will probably get either a speaker badge or a media badge for PAX. Nice. So we'll see. Yeah, 10 maps. I don't think that's just the DLC map count that they have. Yeah, I think we're gonna have more than 10 maps. Pretty sure. Anyways, that wraps up the show. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you check out Monday Night Matchmaking. We had a pretty good turnout yesterday. We did. Let's see. We had about an hour of matchmaking, and then we went to custom games. Is that right?
Yeah.
So we did that. Make sure you check that out. Make sure you check out the forums. Make sure you give us a call or voicemail. Make sure you send us submissions. And donations are always appreciated. So until then, keep on fragging trucks.
Duffy, let's wind the clocks back a year. These cops and lawyers wouldn't dare cross any of you. I mean, what happened? Did your balls drop off? You see, a guy like me, freak. Guy like, listen, I know why you used to have your little group therapy sessions in broad daylight. And I know why you're afraid to go out at night. The Batman. He says it really weird. He's like, Batman.
You do that way too well.
Thank you.
I might have to throw that in there somewhere.
All right, I got it.
All right, let's get this started.
Dent, he's just the beginning. And as for the television's so-called plan, Batman has no jurisdiction. He'll find the squealers and make them squeal. And I know the squealers when I see them. So what do you propose? It's simple. We kill the Batman. If it's so simple, why have you done it already? If you're good at something, never do it for free. How much do you want? Half. You crazy. No, I'm not. If we don't deal with this now, soon little Gamble here won't be able to get a nickel for his grandma. Enough from the clown! Let's not blow this out of proportion. You think you can just steal from us and walk away? Yeah. I'm putting the word out. 500 for this clown dead, 1 million alive, so I can teach him some manners first. Alright, well, you guys already take things a little more seriously. Here's my card.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Dang it, now I want to go watch that movie.
Try to kill me. Kill you? Why would I want to kill you? What would I do without you? Go back to ripping off mob bosses? No. You complete me.
Wow. That is freaky.
You're garbage. The kills for money. Don't talk like you're one of them. You're not. Even if you like to be. See, to them, you're just a freak. Good stuff, huh, guys?
Wow.
You're the reason.
You gotta put that in like at the end or something, like outtakes
I
or
will.
Something.
No. Yeah. It's definitely going in now. All right.